Very familiar scripture. Genesis 2:18. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Let's go through the Bible. I mentioned a number of women that the Bible talks about. And remember the purpose that God had in mind. And of course, today, as we're doing that, all of us, but especially I'm thinking at women, our sisters in Christ, we want to look at it very carefully to measure themselves by this purpose of God. A helper suitable. You can find other synonyms, but the word appropriate, an appropriate helper. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9, for a man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. Therefore, the woman should help her husband. Simple, basic Bible truth. I don't think all women agree with that. But that's what the Bible teaches. She should be very interested in every aspect of his life. Physical, spiritual. God made her. God made woman to be a helper of her husband. That's God's plan. So, in this study, we're going to review some examples of Bible women that were or were not. That were or were not suitable helpers. Okay, start with the first one. Genesis 3 and 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the tree that God told him to don't partake, don't eat of that tree, that particular one. But she saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. And then what? She also gave to her husband. And he ate. So, would you call her a suitable helper? That's what God made her for. And what's the first thing she does? The Apostle Paul again, 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. And of course, there's a sermon in each one of these verses, which we don't have time for. We're simply referring to them. But then, each person wants to look at it very carefully and, of course, examine self in all that we're studying this morning. She let Satan deceive her. That's not the way to be a good, suitable helper as a wife. Let Satan deceive her, and then she persuaded her husband to sin also. That's the farthest thing from the plan of God to be a suitable helper. But of course, many, many women do it. That certainly was not the plan of God. She should have insisted on obedience and not on disobedience. And don't say, yeah, but that's his place. We're emphasizing, and here's the lesson that I want to really, I'm not saying it's something new or something that you don't know or something you don't understand, but something for all of us to emphasize. Is the influence and the power that a woman has. This can't be exaggerated. This cannot be overemphasized. The role of the woman, as a woman, and certainly as a wife. At once, we see that the woman has much influence over the man. That very first man and woman. There's your illustration. And it never changes. It's been that way down through the ages, and it'll be that way till Christ comes. She just simply has a tremendous influence over the man. Noah's wife, what about her? Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did. God gave Noah all these instructions. According to all that God commanded him, so he did. So what did Noah's wife say about that? Now keep in mind the situation. Keep in mind what's going on. Did she react like a lot of women would today? Did she say, "Nah, not me. You're not going to include me in that plan. You're crazy." Never been a what? What's a flood? What is a flood? There's never been a flood. What are you talking about? Now, a lot of women would have talked that way. You know it. You know good and well that's what could have happened. And you're going to shame us before all the neighbors. They're going to say, "What in the world is that guy doing?" You know, and we're going to be embarrassed. That vain pride could certainly cause a wife to react that way. The idea of an ark, man, that's just pure nonsense. She could have been that way. No use denying it because it could have happened. But did she talk that way? Don't think so. Because Genesis 7:1 simply says, come into the ark, you and all your household, and there's no indication of any kind of rebellion on the part of his wife or our family. And 1 Peter 3:20 says that 8 persons were saved. Therefore, we conclude, of course, that all were faithful. What about Sarah? Abraham's wife. 1 Peter 3, when the Apostle Peter is urging wives to be submissive to their own husbands, even if they're unbelievers, even if they're not Christians. Be submissive to your husbands. He says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That word Lord doesn't mean Lord in the sense of God, but it was a term of tremendous respect. Calling him Lord. What about Lot's wife? We're talking about a suitable helper. In Genesis 13 and verse 12, when Lot separated from his uncle Abraham, you remember that story, there wasn't enough land for all of their animals. Well, he chose the best for himself, he thought. He thought he was choosing the best for himself. And he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And what was his wife thinking when he was deciding that? What do you suppose she was thinking? She should have, and probably could have, persuaded him that they were doing wrong, that they were going in the wrong direction. They knew they had to know something about their surroundings. They had to know something about the area in which we would find them. And being in submission, here's a point that every Christian wife certainly ought to should, and if she doesn't, she ought to learn. That the Apostle Paul talks about the wife being in submission, but that does not mean that she always says to her husband, okay, just whatever you say. That doesn't mean that. And that's not the thing for her to say. That's not the thing. Many, many times, a man A man can have an idea, he can have a thought, he can have a plan, and he's making certain, he's about to follow a certain course. And time again, a Christian wife has to blow the whistle. She has to, wait. Back off and look at that. Back off and look at that. Look what you're saying. Look what's going to happen. Christian wives can know just as much Bible as their husbands. And they can be just as intelligent or even more so. Submission never, ever means inferiority. This idea that a lot of so-called feminists are promoting today, it's just pure stupidity. They leave the impression that when you teach what the Bible says, that you're somehow, you're casting some horrible reflection upon wives as being inferior. Far be it from that. Christian wife doesn't just stand back and say, just whatever you say, and let the husband take the family in the wrong direction. Materialism destroys many families, and that's what this is leading to. He chose the best for himself, and then here's all these opportunities in Sodom. And a woman could have seen that. And maybe looked at it from a little different angle than her husband and just absolutely emphasized that that's not the thing to do. How many families move, make decisions about work or about a business or about a profession or about where they're going to live and all of that without investigating how it's going to be with their family spiritually? How many people take vacations and we're going to go here, we're going to go yonder, and for weeks don't even worship God? Is that spirituality? Move without even investigating to see if there's a faithful church where they're going to live. What effect it'll have on the family. The environment for the children. Man being away from home. Leaving the home fatherless. This happens. Is that good? Is that wise? And a godly wife can look at all of that. She can look at all of these factors and say, she can say, hey, wait, look, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. What are we doing? What are you thinking? We're going in the wrong direction. We don't put materialism first. We put the church first. You can't put the church anywhere else. Brethren, you can't put the church anywhere else. Almighty God doesn't accept second place. He doesn't accept leftovers. Members of the church that don't put the church first are just playing church. They're just playing church. They're not serious about it. God doesn't accept second place, much less tenth place. So, I'm just illustrating. Here's something because we know the consequence. But if we're only looking for the best salary and the best business opportunity and where we can advance the most and all of that without considering the church first, then what kind of a suitable helper is a woman like that that just lets the family go in that direction? Genesis 19:17, the angels told them, escape for your life. Don't even look behind you. But what happened? Lot's wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Her heart was in Sodom, and so she looked back to Sodom, just like Israel kept looking back to Egypt. And that's the way it works. So instead of supporting her husband and obeying God, Lot, after all, you remember, is called preacher of righteousness. Remember that? Was she ever called a woman of righteousness? Anyway, she disobeyed. She wanted to have her own way. She lost her life. And Lot lost his wife. A pillar of salt is not a very suitable helper. What about Manoah's wife? There's a whole lot we could say about Manoah and his wife. We're talking about Samson's mother. This is impressive. Judges 13, 22, 23, the angel, you know, the angel appears to them and tells them all these good news and everything. And Manoah said, we shall surely die because we've seen God. And I don't know what he was going to do next. But his wife, here's a man saying something. And then here's, but his wife said something. And that's the way it ought to be. She said, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted this burnt offering and this grain offering from our hands. That made sense. She could see what evidently he wasn't seeing. Did you know that? I'm addressing primarily my sisters in Christ. But do you know that sometimes you might be able to see something that at the moment your husband isn't seeing? Speak up. Speak up and say, but. Okay, but. That's not being out of submission. What do you mean, help her? Why did he marry her? Why does any man marry a woman? Doesn't he think she's intelligent? Is a man going to marry a woman that he thinks she's not intelligent? Not likely. Okay, if she's intelligent, why shouldn't we listen to her? Huh? Doesn't that make sense? It does to me. I guarantee you. But his wife said, I like that. I think that's very impressive. I imagine that every husband thinks he has married an intelligent wife. Therefore, he should listen to her. 1 Peter 3 and 7, when Peter is talking to the man now, he starts out talking to the woman and all that, but then he says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, for him to be understanding and to honor his wife. Many times, the wife thinks more clearly on a given subject than her husband does. What about Hannah? Seth brought some wonderful lessons, 1 Samuel, and a lot of beautiful observations made about Hannah, wife of Elkanah. 1 Samuel 1:11, being barren, as for a son, promising, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And her famous son was the prophet Samuel that we're studying about each Sunday morning, who was dedicated to the Lord to serve in the tabernacle from childhood. Now, every woman should imitate Hannah. And I'm not saying promise to give your son to the tabernacle, but give him to the Lord. Promise to give your son or your daughter to the Lord. God gives you a child, you give him back to the Lord, dedicating her son or daughter to God. Not in the tabernacle, but in their daily life. In this way, Hannah was certainly the ideal, suitable helper. And of course, God blessed her, gave her 5 more children. 1 Timothy 2:15, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue. This is the text. You remember right up the few, 2 or 3 verses before where she's to be in submission, not to exercise authority over her husband and so forth, over the man and so forth, but she'll be saved. Here's her role. Okay, she's not going to be an elder. She's not going to be a deacon or a preacher. She's not going to be that. She's not to exercise authority over the man. But she'll be saved in childbearing, and there's absolutely nothing under the sun more important than the role of wife and mother. She'll be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness with self-control. And then chapter 5 and verse 14, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house. You know that word manage? Study it. Look at it. Look it up. Study it. Manage. It's a strong word. It's a very strong word. Manage the house. That's her domain. That's her palace. That's her territory. Manage the house. And the man that doesn't accept that, he's in for a lot of disappointments and misery. Because if he tries to take over the role of the woman in the areas that belong to her, then it's going to produce unhappiness for the whole family. Titus 2 and 4 admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Please remember Titus 2, 4. I mean, that just really sums it up. Here is a suitable helper in her role as a wife and mother. Homemaker. What's your work? What's your profession? What's your... Oh, I'm just a housewife. For crying out loud, I'm just a housewife. The woman ought to stand tall and smile and with all confidence assert, I'm a housewife. I'm a homemaker. God be thanked. Proud of it. In this way, the woman is a suitable helper. This is her principal role for her own happiness and for that of her husband and children. About Bathsheba. We'll just go hurriedly through some of these names. I know that time's going to run out real quick. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2, it happened that David walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful to behold. So David took her, committed adultery with her, gave orders that her husband Uriah the Hittite be placed in the front line of the fiercest battle so he would be killed. And David took Bathsheba for his wife. Well, is this the way to be a suitable helper of her legitimate husband? Matthew 5:28, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's a sin to lust for a woman, no matter how modest she is, or no matter how carefully she may be dressed. A man can lust after her. But what about the lack of modesty in the woman? Doesn't she contribute to this sin? Both are guilty. In bathing in a place where a man could see her no matter where she was or no matter where he was that wise? Was that being careful, being modest? What about Jezebel? 1 Kings 16:31. Ahab married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went to serve. Married Jezebel and went to serve Baal and worship him. How many men go with their wives religiously? Even though they've been taught the truth. Brought up, as we say, in the church. Brought up to know the truth and even obey the truth. And then marry some woman who's a strong member of some denominational church and go with them. It happens. Ahab was the king of Israel, but he married a pagan woman of the Sidonians who worshipped idols. And due to her strong influence over him, was one of the worst kings of Israel. So how did she measure up as a suitable helper for her husband? She helped him. She helped him to completely leave God. What can be expected when a man marries this kind of woman? 1 Kings 21, Ahab wanted the vineyard of Naboth, but he didn't want to sell it because it was an inheritance from his fathers. Ahab was very sad. He was pouting. He was really unhappy. Jezebel wanted to help him. She's going to be a helper. She's a wife. She's going to help him. How did she do it? She commanded that two perverse men accuse Naboth of blaspheming God and the king so they could stone him, and then Ahab could take possession of the vineyard. How do you like that? How about that for being a helper? That's how she helped him. What about Job's wife? Job 2 and 7, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job 2:8, he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. And then his wife, who's supposed to be a suitable helper, help him in his problem. He's a righteous man. He's a godly man. And now he's being sorely afflicted. And his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." How do you like that for being a suitable helper? What a good, suitable helper was Job's wife. Instead of encouraging him to persist in his fidelity, she wanted to discourage him and even denounce God. Now, God said that Job was perfect, chapter 1, verse 1. And Satan said he only served God for what he could get out of it. Therefore, God was permitting Satan to put Job to the test. And then Job's wife, of all things, becomes an accomplice of Satan. How about that for the role of a wife? The wife to become an accomplice of Satan to tempt her husband so he'll be destroyed. What trial? Can you imagine a trial could be more terrible than this? That of his own wife, that his own wife would talk that way. I can't imagine a trial more severe than this. After all, your wife is, you're one flesh with her, the mother of your children. You want to live together in harmony as best you can. And yet she's nagging you and pulling at you to turn you away from God and to serve Satan. What about Elizabeth, wife of Zechariah? You remember in Luke chapter 1, the very beginning of the book of Luke, there was a certain priest named Zechariah. I've got Zechariah and Zechariah. I'm getting my Spanish and English all mixed up, so don't pay attention to that. His wife's name was Elizabeth, and they were both religious. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. How many evangelists, elders, and others have been shamed and their influence practically destroyed by the conduct of their wife? Here's a man who had the full support of a godly wife. But there can't be any blessing any greater than that. Don't ever, ever take it for granted. Need to thank God for that with every breath. This is indeed being a suitable helper. Both were just and conducted themselves blamelessly in all the commandments of the Lord. The husband was a priest, and the wife supported him in everything. And transfer that to an elder, to an evangelist, to a Bible class teacher, to any godly man. What about Herodias, Herod's wife? Mark 6:18, John had said to Herod, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him. But she couldn't. It wasn't that simple. She certainly was not a suitable helper of her first husband, Philip, Herod's brother. And now, being reproved for her sin, she is furious and resolved to take vengeance on John. I mean, she's out of control with her fury and her anger. Herod had made a very rash promise to Salome, daughter of Herodias, to give her whatever she asked. She danced like crazy and pleased Herod and said, "I'll give you anything you want up to the half of the kingdom." And then she runs to Mama and says, "Oh, what should I ask for? Man, he's giving me the moon. What can I ask for?" And she was ready. She knew what she wanted more than anything in all the world. "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." How about that for a suitable helper? No one is capable of blessing more than a good woman. Nobody. But there is no one that's capable of wounding and doing more damage to others than the infuriated woman full of hate and passion. What about Sapphira, wife of Ananias? Acts 5 and 1, Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it. And being a suitable helper, she should have said, "Hold it, Ananias, what are you doing? What we're doing here is an offering to God. We're selling our possessions to give this money to God and for the cause of Christ. And you're lying about it? We can't do that. Man, we can't do that." You know, I sincerely believe, I really believe, that she could have stopped him in his tracks. I really do. I think that he could have said, "Well, you probably got a point there." I'd say it's entirely possible and probable that she could have put an end to that tragedy. But no, she goes along with it. She knows about it. And then Peter calls her in and said, "What about this?" Said, yeah, just like he said. Yeah. "Okay. I'm going to carry you out too, just like they carried him out." Isn't that tragic? You know, a woman, a wife, a woman that decides to marry a man has got a lot to think about. She's got a lot to think about. "Brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet, and Peter answered her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.'" Yeah, for so much. That's how much it was. Lying to the Holy Spirit, lying to God. What should she have done? She should have told him that she would have no part in such a plan, because it was their offering to God and that they had to do it with all sincerity. What if she had spoken up and opposed what he was doing? Probably that tragedy would have been avoided, because such is the influence of a good wife. It's tremendous. More than I think, more than many women realize, more than they realize. What about Priscilla? One more. Time's up, but I want to. One more. Priscilla, here's the wife of Aquila, Acts 18. Paul stayed with them. Paul and Aquila were the same trade, tent makers. And Priscilla, here, first of all, she's practicing beautiful hospitality toward Paul. And that's not all. Romans 16:5, likewise, greet the church that's in their house. How many wives, how many suitable helpers are willing for the church to meet in their home? That requires a tremendous amount of work on the part of the woman. She's going to catch the brunt of it. I mean, if they provide the house for the church to have services, she's got to think about so many things. A lot of times, the bathroom's a problem. Now, children can be a problem. Any number of things. But if everything goes smoothly, it's still a monumental job. Here's Here's your example. Church met. And you know what? How many scriptures say the church in his house, the church in their house, the church in their house? No, they didn't talk about church building. They talk about the church in somebody's house. And in every case, there had to be a godly woman who was managing that thing. You can have help from a husband and children, but she's the one, remember, 1 Timothy 5:14, manage the house. The house of Aquila and Priscilla. So they practiced hospitality toward Paul and toward the church of the Lord. To offer one's home for the service of the church in whatever capacity, for Bible classes, for singing, and for the regular worship service, is a very, very significant, a very important thing. Well, I'll quit. But go on through your Bible and look at all these examples. There are several other, of course, many other examples of women, good and bad. But the point we're making is the tremendous power, the tremendous influence that women have. And then this role where we started, Genesis 2:18, a suitable helper to her husband. This is primary. We're going to have an invitation song. We never know the hearts of those that are present. If there's anyone here that as yet has not obeyed the gospel, need to come to Christ, repenting of sins, come to confess Jesus and be baptized. If you're here and you're out of duty and need